Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello, lovelies, and welcome to another edition of LGBT in the Ring, your rainbow bastion for all things pro wrestling. I am your host, Brian Bell, here with you once again on the Outsports Podcast Network, and it is a very special day today. Obviously, we're nearing the end of the year, and we are nearing the end of the QWI festivities as well, which means that it's time to talk about the QWI 200. Obviously, today the final bit of the list, the top 20, came out, and we obviously need to talk about it a little bit more, and I'm very happy to welcome back returning guests Lo McGrath and Pollo Del Mar to talk about the list on the show today, two awesome queer columnists for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, as well as friends of the show. And we got to sit down and kind of discuss all of our feelings around the list in great detail. And I don't know, it was just a really fun conversation to kind of cap off this week plus that was originally meant to be just a week of the QWI 200. Yeah, so obviously if you have read the list, because it is out before this podcast will go live, you already know who the number one for this year is. Congratulations to the always a champion in my mind, AC Mac, for being number one this year. And congratulations to all 200, top 20, all of the numbers, people that were on the list, as well as the people that were not on the list. You know, I've said it multiple times, and in the the conversation today, I say it again. I had to evaluate more than 400 people this year, and it was an amazing experience just to see how many people were there and on such a high caliber for most or all of this year. And I'm excited to do this all over again next year. I know it's a long, lengthy, and intensive process for me to put this list and all of the entries and all of the writing together. It's a long piece of work, but I thoroughly enjoy doing it, especially whenever I get done with it and then get to talk about it with friends. So with that being said, let's jump right into my conversation with Pollo Del Mar and Lo McGrath all about the 2022 QWI 200. What's up, guys, gals, and non-binary pals? Welcome back to LGBT in the Ring. It is a very special day today on the podcast because we are talking about the QWI 200. Obviously, today the top 20 has dropped. We know who number one is, and we will get to that in just a second, along with a number of discussions about the list itself. But here to do that with me today, last year we had an array of people from the PWI family. This year we're keeping it in the community, though. From PWI, two great queer columnists, among other things in the pro wrestling world, we have the co-queermander-in-chief, the person behind Palm House Pro Wrestling, as well as work with Fight Club Pro Wrestling, Butch vs. Gore, which now has turned into Pro Wrestling Vibe, bringing us back to DC Brow. Lo McGrath, welcome to back to LGBT in the Ring.
Thank you very much.
And of course, the manager of champions, the reigning 2021 out as voted by the fans of this podcast and Outsports personality of the year for the QWI, as well as someone who actually you were in contention this year because you did wrestle some matches as well, Miss Pollo. Pollo Del Mar, welcome back to the show.
It's always fun to join you, especially at this time of year. It's Pollo Del Mar, the manager of champions, the champion of managers, your QWI award-winning pro wrestling personality of the year for 2021, as voted by listeners to this podcast and readers of Outsports.com, the one and only. I'm glad to be here. I obviously must have been ranked number 201 with my three phenomenal outings.
Yes, I will say I did review your material as well as more than 400 other people for this list. So, you know, like you have the right to call yourself 201 just as much as anybody else that wasn't on the 200. So you can take that for yourself.
I've already co-opted it. Hello, I've there got go. Shirts coming out saying number 201.
Well, y'all, I'm very happy to have y'all on the show and to talk about this list in particular. This is probably, I thought last year was an undertaking. This one obviously was much larger. I guess we can just go ahead and start off talking about the top 10 a little bit here, or rather, you know what? We'll hold that for just a second. First off, congratulations to AC Mac. AC Mac, the QWI 200 number one for 2022, history-making title win, amazing, outstanding talent, put an entire region on his back with the Southeast First Movement this year, just amazing stuff there. I am curious to get y'all's initial thoughts, as y'all have seen the full list, and we're recording this before Thursday, obviously, so y'all have seen the full list ahead of everyone else. What were your first takeaways from seeing the list itself?
Actually, before we get into any opinions, I wanted to ask you something, Brian, just because I know that a lot of listeners, you know, so many queer people are not new to wrestling, but so many queer people are. What is the QWI? Like, how did you do it? Because I know that there's a different process for PWI's women's rankings, for their tag teams, and for their 500. So if we can rewind a little bit, just so we all know exactly how you made this happen.
Yeah, sure.
Because you have to watch a lot of wrestling.
I watch a lot of wrestling throughout the year anyway, so a lot of the work is done. A lot of the work is done previous to starting to write this. But yes, yeah, so I evaluated more than 400 queer wrestlers because we're at that point now where we have more than 400 people, close to 500 at this point, from all over the world. And the criteria for the list is mainly, you know, it's kind of similar to the PWI criteria a little bit, you know, title wins, notable wins over different opponents, a variety of promotions, the prestige of promotions that you work for, how often you've wrestled, like if you missed any time, that can be a ding, even though it's not necessarily in your control. And then I also bring into play cultural impact, outside of the ring impact as well, whenever it comes to rankings there. So, like, I don't know. I feel like in terms of what I want the list to represent, you can't talk about wrestling in regards to this community without talking about the cultural impact that the people within it are bringing and how they're reshaping the wrestling world. And, you know, with the advanced number of people to evaluate this year, there was obviously a lot of movement compared to last year. A lot of people like that were on the list last year were not on it this year. There were a lot of people that dropped a little bit or a decent amount. Some people moved up a lot. So like it was a vastly different this year also just because of the size of the talent pool. Like last year whenever we talked with Kevin and the crew last year, like I was looking at roughly 240 people, and I added more than 200 people that I had to keep tabs on this year. So it was an undertaking, but yeah, like that's the criteria for the list and how people are ranked in that way.
Hell yeah, cool. Thank you for all that.
Of course.
One thing that I thought was, you know, before even going into the top, the upper echelon of this listing, I certainly noted that there were many new names that I had not seen on this. There were names that were previously on it that were missing this year. And what that spoke to for me was how broad the reach of our community is becoming and how expansive our presence in the world of professional wrestling is. It's not just a simple situation where we would have probably encountered even just a few years ago where even finding 200 out people would be a challenge, right? And now we're looking at situations where people are being much more free in their either identification process or the level of comfort that they have to make that public. And I think that that speaks to like the growth of where our community is going in terms of broader acceptance in the world of professional wrestling and in the world.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's something else, just to back up your point, because so a lot of names did disappear and 400 people's a lot more to look at than last year. I think that we've finally started to reach a breaking point or a paradigm shift, if you will. And I talk about this a lot with Billy when we talk about building a roster. We're transcending just representation now, right? Like you have to represent, but now you got to be good too. Like it's so much harder to book these queer centric shows than it was a couple years ago. There are so many poor people to look at. There's so many, like there's a lot more politics involved, which is why I think list season is very exciting too, from sort of a, you know, I'll waggle my eyebrows, but a dramatic standpoint. But yeah, like the cultural impact, I'm really glad gets taken into account when this is built as well, because Brian, I'll back you up there too. There's really no way to divorce that from what you're doing when you build this list. So yeah.
One of the things.
I'm sorry, Brian.
I didn't mean.
Go ahead.
But something that was said there is something I've echoed in past conversations about this. And when we look now at the world of queer wrestling, there was a time and a place that if they were going to, you know, we were all fighting for a very few slots, but if there was a small company somewhere or a promotion somewhere that wanted to show the courage to even dive into that kind of a storytelling or allow people to be open, the only real criteria that you needed from in many parts was just to identify, right? And now it is not that simple. And I had a conversation privately with some friends and publicly on some levels, and without naming any names, but there are individuals who are very frustrated, openly frustrated that they're not getting opportunities that other people are getting. And I have expressed that our community now is so broad in the way that we represent, meaning physically, in terms of like gimmickry, you know, the gimmicks that we can put out there, the stories that we can tell, the in-ring capabilities, that now if you are simply somewhere on the spectrum, it does not even guarantee you an invitation to the party, because you get to be judged. And this is such a beautiful thing. You get to be judged on the same skills and everything else that the broader populace would be judged on. You know, we need you to be able to work at the top levels, because we want to put on shows that are top notch. And we are able to do that now. And I love that we are able to do that, because our talent pool, our peers, our colleagues are immensely talented. And that's one of the things I love about our community. We're immensely talented and immensely diverse. So we have something of everything and something for everyone, but there are people who also perform at the top level.
No, 100%. And I feel like, to both of y'all's points, like we really are at that reflection point where like representation is still a huge thing, obviously, especially as we see like certain communities within the LGBTQ community not at the same level of representation, even though it is growing. Like there are multiple trans mask wrestlers on the list this year. You know, there are there is asexual representation out there. Unfortunately, to my knowledge, no one on that spectrum made the list this year. Raisa Clark down in Texas is like the main person that I'm aware of. And get well, Reza, I want to see you back in the ring. She's awesome. But we still have a ways to go in terms of like getting every part of the community to the party. But at the same time, the mission of parody, in a way, for lack of a better term, in terms of like being recognized for skill over identity or skill over your orientation or anything like that, that is, it's here. I was gonna say it's closer, but no, it's here. 100%. No,
I do think that one of the problems, and Mo, do you you may agree with this, is coming from the opposite side of somebody who tries to put together shows, I think that one of the challenges that we will face going forward in terms of that broad scale representation is that this is just my experience as a person within the community. Our levels of identification are becoming more and more and more specific. And so people begin to look for these very explicitly specific identifiers, I think, to feel represented, versus before, if we just saw somebody, you know, in my case, if I saw somebody who even remotely acted feminine 25 years ago, I was like, oh my God, I identify, you know, like, versus now people are like, you know, are you ... And I think as we begin to, or continue rather, to explore self-identification and the way people want to put those identifiers on themselves, that it can become a little more challenging than just when there were far fewer are you L, are you G, are you B, or are you T? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Let's get controversial, right? I'm looking through the list. And just to harken back to Brian's discussion about including cultural impact in here and how broad so many definitions are getting, which is so great in so many ways. But when we do talk about representation, you're kind of forced to categorize people, right? Like it quite literally forces you to do that. I'll joke, I'm scanning and I'm like, is Kenny Omega gonna show up on this?
God damn it. God damn it, Lo. I want to get back to your point real quick, but let me tell you, if I swear to God, if anybody gets in my mentions asking why Kenny Omega is not ranked on this list, I'm gonna mute you. That's just the way it's gonna go. It happened last year. It happened with the 100 that wasn't ranked the year before. Every year, someone tries to get in there and ask, why aren't Kenny and Kota in this? I'm like, no one has come out between the two of them. I'm not going to assume anybody's identity here. Shut up, please.
What I love about this list is, again, representation is not enough. What are you doing with that representation? Everybody who is on this list is using it in some sort of way, right? Like if you could have placed number 10, but your coming out has not come with a side of advocating for the people who are standing behind you who need the push to the front, then that's a whole thing. There are so many debates about whether or not we are owed people coming out or not, and I don't want to get into that discourse because I have pretty strong opinions about it that make people very upset at me sometimes. Because I do think that like being out is something that's very, very important in our community still right now. I think I'm kind of losing my point that I was trying to make here. But yeah, it can't just be representation anymore. There is so much more that has to do with it. And if you're going to come out and you want a seat at this table, that's fucking awesome. But it's a potluck. You have to bring something too, right? Like it's not enough to just, in my opinion, again, to just, all right, I'm a member of this community. Are you a member of this community? Like it's something we can talk about within the context of this list, but in the greater queer world as well, right? And I see some nods.
That is something that my friends and I have conversations about, and it is controversial because, you know, can we mandate that somebody does what we think they should with their sexuality or their identification? And no, of course not. And I think that people's decisions on how involved to be or how participatory they are is to their own discretion. But when it comes to a scenario like this, where basically you are in many ways rewarding somebody for not just being LGBTQ, but having cultural impact by allowing your identity to, in many ways, whether overtly or covertly, be politicized. Because I am, when I go on to NWA television in all my regalia, my identity is politicized. The public politicizes my identity. I'm just there doing my wrestling thing, but the very nature that I exist for some people is political. And there are all of these people, and I if somebody's listening to this and gets like feels personally attacked, that I'm not mentioning any names, so you probably need to examine something. But I know far too many people. I know far too many people who are very willing to identify as some part of a spectrum when it comes time, you know, for those Pride Month bookings or what have you. But I see nothing from them that otherwise represents them as part of. It's like a once a year thing, and then it goes back into wherever they want to put it. Like, I mean, I could equate it to like I pull my Christmas tree out at the day after Thanksgiving, but it goes back in the closet. It's not like I'm like, I'm a Christmas lover year round. You know what I mean? Like, and I think some people are like that with their sexuality too. Like, it's something that I'll talk about maybe with my friends or whatever and roll it out when it's beneficial. But if it's not beneficial, I've never been able to secretly wear my sexuality or my identity ever, never, ever.
I think we probably find this kinship in discussing it, though, because drag has a connection to nightlife. My background is nightlife. We know what it means to be part of a physical community that, you know, it's been really hard over the past couple years to be so online and not be able to be in person as often as we'd want to in the first place. But it is the importance of coming out and having community, right? Like, it's a totally different experience versus an experience where you don't have that camaraderie all around you and people who speak the same language that you do, right?
I think that what you're talking about, the term community is so specific, and I love it, because this is my experience. It's not an opinion, it's my experience. And that is that by being very open and very public about who I am, it attracts people to that, right? Because they feel comfort in that, because there's authenticity. And I think that that's something that we're looking at with this list too, that when people are open and authentic at all times, people gravitate to them, and then a community springs up around them, versus people who are maybe like a Kenny Omega, who we speculate, or they played to our community in the past very publicly. But nobody gravitates towards that person because of that factor.
Yeah, and I will admit that I've definitely spoken with a number of fans and people that you know post online about stuff that are part of the queer community, that have like drawn inspiration from like the Golden Lovers or from Kenny and Coda, but at the same time, like it's not fair to them to put that onto them. And also, like, I hope that that is like a gateway to seeing the wider community that is actually like out and public about it and putting themselves out there for the wrestling community to respond to, and building their own names in the ways that they are.
Well, how angry would any of us have been if, you know, this list was being done in 1995 and Gold Dust was the number one?
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a situation like that. And do I think that Kenny and Coda are, of course I do. Absolutely. but I don't want him on our list necessarily. Until he says
that. Yeah, exactly. That's on him.
Give it somebody else an opportunity, for God's sake. You're PWI number one. Leave us alone. Let us have our thing.
I love that we're all here to discuss this list. We haven't named a single name. We've just been shooting on the list the whole time, though. So,
well, I mean, honestly, that's a good segue. Let's talk about the top 10 real quick. And then we can get into some other names. I'm curious to hear about names that stood out to y'all from the wider list as well. Because I know last year, Poyo, you had some hot takes on me a little bit about some of the rankings, so I'm curious to hear. But top 10, starting at number 10, going down the line, of course, Trisha Dora, at number 10, Max the Impaler, number 9, Tita, number 8, Anthony Bowens, number 7, Edith Surreal, number 6, Vinny or Asuka, however you know her, as number 5, Speedball Mike Bailey, number 4, Effie 3, Dark Sheik, number 2, and AC Mac, number 1. I'm curious to get both your thoughts. I'll throw it to Lo first for this one.
I think, AC Mac is, in my opinion, just kind of, you can't dispute that, right? Like, he's had such an amazing career thus far, too. You know, it's not like this year was necessarily his year. When he started showing up, when I booked him at a DC Brow back in April, he already had, you know, the metal to break back everything up. He didn't just need that IWTV belt. Incredible athlete. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to talk specifically about him too, I think, because he's so well-rounded as well. His work on the microphone, flawless. His work as a wrestler, flawless. The way that he conducts himself outside the ring, I think, is also just airtight and really awesome. This is a community that gets dragged into a lot of hot takes and discourse and drama fairly often. And I've always been impressed how his name has never popped up anywhere, right? Like, he just conducts himself like he is at the top of his game, because he is at the top of his game. So I love to see it. I really do.
For me, Brian, you were talking about last year, I had hot takes and I was like shooting on your decision. I felt last year was a situation where we had a lot of options. Not that we didn't have options this year, but I felt like last year's criteria, as we discussed last year, if you base it on one thing, it goes one direction. If you base it on something else, it goes a different direction. I felt like, in my opinion, AC Mac was such a clear-cut, obvious, kind of not necessarily obvious, but definitely there's no question that becoming the first out world champion puts you at that role. And then it becomes a scenario maybe where the few that follow after that become real discussion makers. I think that the only person on this list that I could have seen as being considered for number one, possibly, if not AC Mac, would have probably been Speedball Bailey, because Mike has had just a year that would make anyone envious, like literally anyone envious.
Yeah, like I will say this, like writing his entry people that have read it this morning or whenever you get to it today, just try and cram his year into two paragraphs. Just try it. He has been just all over the world. I think looking at the count, he's wrestled in the most matches of anyone on this list at right around 150, which is mind-boggling. But as well as his ability in the ring and how busy he has kept, he's also been a vocal advocate in many different ways as well. Like, I think the video that he put out where he interviewed wrestlers about intergender wrestling was one of the best things that a wrestler's put out on YouTube this year. And just to see so many people just be like, yeah, this is some dumb shit, which is the same thing we've been saying for years at this point, that gender shouldn't factor into how we divide pro wrestling and that sort of thing. So yeah, I could definitely see that. I will say that Dark Sheik also did make a really heavy argument for me this year, and Effie, because Effie always does. I feel like Effie is just like a constant in a lot of ways, but Dark Sheik really, there's something about the way that she continues to resonate with GCW crowds, like her popularity there continue, like it almost rivals Effie at this point, not just for like the queer people in GCW, but just like stars in GCW. And then you factor in everything that she's done with Hood Slam and their resurgence this year, as well as like work with other major independents like Prestige out here on the West Coast, and you know what she did at Pride and Vibe Weekend, winning the Paris Bumping Grand Prize Trophy and competing in that historic main event at Paris is Bumping as well. Like, there was a lot on her resume that she could have easily made number one on this list as well.
I do not disagree with that at all. You know, the reason for me, Mike Bailey having the opportunity to finally come into the United States and start to compete, just opened such a floodgate of opportunities for people to see how amazingly talented of an individual Mike is. And I just think back to when we were all in Dallas early this year for the collective weekend over WrestleMania weekend. It was something like Mike probably had 8 of the top 10, like, you know, most acclaimed matches of a 4-day period. Like, who can do that? You know what I mean? Against this like crazy diverse type of talent roster that he was facing. So it's a situation where, like I said, to me, AC Mack, pretty clear because of that monumental victory. But there are other great options, and it's not to diminish anybody, whether it's Sheik or Mack or Effie. Obviously, Effie is such a consistent that most people would think, you know, it's an obvious given for him. But great talent pool.
I think I've after hearing everybody talk and just mulling it over, I finally figured out at his core why I think he is the perfect number one. Because we're talking right now about, we're talking about Dark Sheik, we're talking about Effie, Mike Bailey, Asuka, who have been incredibly well-traveled, right? So a presence on all coasts and everything in between, globe-trotting in many instances. It was the beginning of AC Mack's title reign, I think, where he got into this very old school sort of territory talk and talked about how everything in Georgia, his local promotions, that they deserved more attention, that that part of the country was more deserving of attention. And it felt and looking at his accomplishments from this year, apart from just that title belt, it's incredible he's been able to make such an impact in what is arguably a much smaller space, right? So I think it speaks to what a powerhouse he is, that without having to endear himself all over the place, which is important, right? That's an incredible skill set to have. You should have it. But no, for him to do something a little bit different and keeping it slightly more local, I think was a pretty obvious benefit in the end there. So I hope that in 2023, we start to see him in more places, though. I hope that he doesn't come out on top again because he's dominant in a smaller part of this global sphere that we're looking at. So yeah, good for you, AC Mack. Good for you.
Yeah, and I really feel like that IWTV world title win early in the year opened up the country to him, because he did end up, he won titles all over the place. He won multiple titles up in the Midwest with Ohio Wrestling Alliance and Unsanctioned Pro. He traveled all over the country to defend the IWTV belt. People in California got their first taste of AC Mack. People in the Northeast got their first taste of AC Mack a bit. And just all the people in Texas, like, he defended the belt in Texas and in the Midwest, like he that opened up so many doors for him to expand into those areas. But he expanded into those areas with the message of Southeast First, with the message of putting Georgia and the visibility of that entire region on his back in that way.
I'm just looking at this list. I just returned to the list and like looked through the top 20, and it blows me away that my real introduction into the broader world of professional wrestling outside of California, my home base, came a year and a half ago when we were all in Tampa for WrestleMania, the collective weekend down there. And 6 of the top 20 were my roommates. We all shared, you know what I mean? So talk about like jumping in, like right into the boiling water. So it just makes me amazingly proud of these people that I met, that welcomed me so warmly, that I already knew of them as stars and big names, especially in our community at that time, to watch them go in a year and a half's time to the places that they are. You know, it's a very rewarding feeling to know these people on a personal level, to think that they're incredibly, incredibly talented, and to see them getting their just desserts, you know, in terms of recognition on this broader spectrum.
No, for sure. And to that end as well, I think I would like to personally highlight Maxine Paler at number 9, because I feel like what Max did in Japan this year Was amazing to see, not just from a story perspective and that whole relationship with Palm Harajuku there in Tokyo Joshi Pro, but the fact that they went over there and they wrestled both men and women in that company. They made history multiple times over, you know, whether it be being a non-binary wrestler, being a trans mask wrestler over there, and like it just goes to show that there are even in countries where like we don't see a lot of like publicly visible representation, you know, like the only Japanese wrestler on the list is Venny, but there are companies over there that are open to having these stars come in, and it's becoming a more global a level of acceptance in a way, at least in terms of a pro wrestling world.
And it's not done yet for Max.
Oh,
at
no.
the recent NWA TV tapings, Max and I, Max, by the way, is one of my favorite people to hang around with. I just love Max, and they and I were sharing like a dressing room. We're both messy. We're a lot of makeup, a lot of messy, and we were sharing a dressing room. And just the day before we're recording this. So yesterday, texted Max and said, "Who are you impaling next?" And their answer was all of Japan. They're getting ready to go back to Japan in the new year. So I'm expecting all of Japan will be impaled by Max soon.
Yeah, they're bringing Heidi with them this
Yeah.
time. So,
Nice. Hell yeah.
yes, it's awesome. So I'm curious to get your thoughts. Like, we can talk about top 20 or just anybody that really like kind of stood out to you in particular from the list this year. Whether it be like someone that you might have disagreed with the ranking or someone that just kind of popped out at you in terms of like looking at the entries and that sort of thing. I'm curious to hear who kind of popped out to y'all. I'll go to Polio first on this one.
Well, for me, the one that when I got this list, the one I scanned for was Anton Voorhees, because Anton, as well as many of the listeners probably do, that Anton is one of my clients. I manage Anton as part of the agenda here in Underground Wrestling Alliance in Northern California. And Anton has always been like the forgotten child for the year and a half that we've been doing this. I said it's not easy having a big sister like Dark Sheik, who's a global superstar, and two rambunctious little brothers like Marco and Fab, who are like the tag team of our group. So for me, it was so exciting to see Anton get listed at 42, number 42. And what a that's like a debut with a bullet, right? 42. And Anton, if for those who've gotten to see him wrestle, is immensely, immensely talented. And it as a friend, as somebody who is a colleague, obviously as his manager, it makes me very excited to see that hopefully he will not be the overlooked child going forward. People will get to notice him and keep an eye out for him because his work is incredible.
Sweet, long pause. Hey, sorry, Brian. I
It's
forgot. I
okay.
forgot I was supposed to like. I forgot I was supposed to like take the torch. But like, oh my God, yeah, my turn. My turn. This is how we do it. Yeah, I need to go and start scanning and looking more at the list as a whole. But just before I do that, just refocusing very briefly on this top 20. I need people to know how insanely competitive this top 20 is. There are some names,
Yeah.
multifaceted talent too. One thing that I have to note is that four of these 20 athletes also work in some capacity as promoters and have all done shows this year. That is what I do. I do the least glamorous parts of that realm, however. And it's an enormous amount of work. I cannot imagine having to keep myself tight as a wrestler while also promoting shows. So, you know, snaps all around for that. And then eight of the 12 names I'll just go through briefly are all folks who, at some point this year, if not multiple times, have wrestled in Washington, D.C. It's huge for me because, you know, when I started with founding Primetime Pro, almost 5 years ago, that just wasn't something that existed in DC. And, you know, I certainly am not holding up the house now. There's such an incredible amount of promoting talent coming directly out of that area, but it does feel like a baby that I birthed. So I labored for DC. And so the eight athletes who have worked in DC who made the list would be AC Mack, which, you know, duh, obvious, incredible. Edith Surreal, and you know, she's had this ongoing feud with, who is also included, Killian McMurphy. You're gonna get me in trouble with Billy, because let's see, where is Billy and where is Killian again? Let's...
Yeah, they're right next to each other. Killian 11, yeah. Billy 12.
Yeah, that's gonna make my next 2 months a lot more stressful. So personal, thank you for that.
I apologize.
Mm-hmm. Eric, I don't remember, because Erica was not able to wrestle at our last show, but she's a huge presence in DC. So yeah, duh, she counts. MV Young, who is also killing it with all of this like super weird punk rock DIY. My cat is trying to eat ramen noodles right now. but he's doing all of his cool.
I'm so jealous of your cat. I am very jealous of your cat.
Like, stop. Like, he likes the sound it makes. Anyways, I digress. But all the weird, cool punk rock shit that MV is doing in Pittsburgh is so awesome. I wish I could make it there too. Allie's going to be debuting at Brawlmatica on February 19th. And then of course, Jordan Blade, who, you know, with Jordan, I want to argue that she should be higher up in the list, but I admittedly have not watched half as much wrestling as you have this year, Brian, and actually neither of you for sure. I'm pretty singular minded in how I have to review the people that I want to book. But yeah, so it's, I don't know. It's really, really, I feel very lucky to be running the brunt of my shows. Oh, and Trish Adora, how could I, I'm very sorry for leaving her out, the undisputed queen of DC right now. But it's awesome to see a place where there was no wrestling 5 years ago to suddenly be one of the hotbeds for queer wrestling in the United States. I think that between Hood Slam, I think that everything that Enjoy does, obviously, and the fact that GCW has been pushing so many more queer athletes to the front, there are way more, you know, queer-based promotions than there used to be. But I think there's a lot of activity happening in those specific areas, and I just feel really fortunate to be in the middle of some of it.
Let me tell you, that 20 through 11 was probably harder to place people. I'll even go as far as 21 with Devon Monroe at 21. Like, that 21 through 11 was the hardest to figure out exactly where to put people, because in many ways, like, Jordan has had such an outstanding year, but so has Ali, so has MV. And I feel like the most controversial thing coming out of this is that Billy is ranked at 12th this year. Like, that is, like, because Billy, you know, Pride and Vibe weekend was such a huge deal. The first event of its kind, dedicating an entire weekend to the community and pro wrestling in the way that it has. Pro Wrestling Vibe has become such a major part of this LGBTQ pro wrestling movement that we've seen. And then, of course, just the matches that Billy had this year, the match with Hoodfoot, the match with Darius, his comeback later in the year with JCW and the match with Sonny Kiss and Uncanny. Like, Billy has turned in like multiple match of the year contenders, but and at the same time, like, it just got so stiff with trying to figure out where to put people. And Billy, don't hate me, but like, it's just one of those things where, like, that's just how things felt this year. It was so
told
hard.
Him to retire in the summer.
Yeah,
about the retirement this summer. I mean, come on now. How is he going to blame you when he announced a retirement? Sorry.
Nobody is more annoyed. Nobody could possibly be more annoyed with Billy Dixon fucking retiring and then unretiring himself without, like, a baby could not even have been conceived and born in the time frame in which This man left and came back. Damn it, Billiam Dixon. Yeah, no, I had an editor from a different publication, a non-wrestling publication that I write for, who's very into wrestling. And he said, hey, like, what do you think of all this Billy stuff? Do you think he really retired? And my response was like, I think he thinks he retired.
Yeah.
But no, there's no surprise when he came roaring back. So, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a little bit of salt in the wound that maybe this all could have been prevented, Billiam. It all could have been prevented.
I never ever believed it, Lo. When it was like, this is my retirement, I was like, sure it is. Like, come on now. Like just take a break. Be like, I'm burnt out. I need a couple, like a month or two, like, you know, whatever. But, you know, yeah, I did not believe that a very able-bodied 26-year-old competitor like Billy Dixon was retiring.
This man almost went to fucking war with the Washington, D.C. Wrestling Commission. So there was a minute where I was like, oh, shit. Like, did they send like a hit guy after him or something? They're like, we're going to retire you for good. Like, I don't know. What a chaotic move, my guy. 4 months. Jesus on a biscuit. Anyways, so yeah, that top 20 is nuts, but whew, all right, continuing on. We've hit the part of the afternoon where I just start getting completely blasted on legal substances, so here we are.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
One of the things I would say is that I think that some people will be surprised that individuals like a Toni Storm or a Mercedes Martinez, who were very open, you know, who are very open about their identities and working for an extremely large company like either Ring of Honor or AEW, and we know that they're folded together, did not place more prominently.
Yeah.
That is something that I do think that, you know, it can at times like be a negative impact for somebody to be part of a larger type of company, because they're only having that extensive impact basically by the viewers of what their product is versus almost everybody else on this list who have that journeyman professional wrestling lifestyle where we're traveling all over, going to different places, not at the behest of a singular, you know, individual paying the bills.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a question also of how they're used in said company too, because like there are four, I believe, and I'm just recalling this off the top of my head, there are four wrestlers from WWE on this list. The highest ranking one is Shayna Baszler at 81, because of how they are used. Now, granted, like Quincy Elliott in NXT, outstanding debut, amazing presence, but and just getting that journey started, but like Sonya Deville and Doudrop and Shayna, you know, out of the four there, Shayna's the only one that competed at WrestleMania in the women's tag team title match, and she's the only one that has really gotten a major push in a way, but even that push, you know, resulted in like one women's title match on a pay-per-view at Clash at the Castle. So it's being in these larger, more prominent televised promotions is an amazing thing, but it's also how that company views you and how that company uses you. And I know that that is not in the wrestler's control at all. And it sucks. It really sucks that has to, something that's out of your control influences your placement on something like this. But that's how it goes.
You can have that same argument for Sunny Kiss. I was surprised. I'm consistently surprised how prominently Sunny places when people associate him with AEW, and AEW absolutely refuses to do much at all with Sunny. And I think we had this conversation potentially even last year, where I was like, I'm shocked that Sunny is placed so prominently. And not because I don't think Sunny is talented, not because I don't think Sunny has incredible potential, not because of any reason other than the fact that Sunny is working for a company that does not openly appear to have or place significant value on their abilities.
And I'm not going to lie, Sunny got into the top 20 because she went on the indie run of an ages of the ages this year. Mm-hmm. Like everywhere she went outside of AEW, she delivered a match of the night, if not match of the year caliber performance. She elevated so many talents, both queer and non-queer, wherever she went. And she did it all over North America. And as I wrote in the entry there, like basically anybody she stepped into the ring with on the independents this year delivered one of, if not the best matches of that person's year by being in the ring with Sunny Kiss. Like Sunny, we can continue to clamor about Sunny being featured on AEW television. And we rightfully should, because Sunny belongs in that spot. But to see that, you know, Sunny is still has the drive to go out there and prove why is mm-hmm. amazing to see. All right, Jens, thank you so much for tuning into LGBT in the Ring. We'll get right back into the thick of things, but I do want to take a pause real quick and say thank you to some amazing people that make this show as rad as it is. Starting off with Daniel Quasar, the Progress Pride Flag designed by Daniel Quasar is a product of Progress Initiative. You can find out more at quasar.digital. A big thank you to Sarah in the Safe Word for the show's theme song, Formula 666, off the album Red Hot and Holy. You can find them on Twitter at STSWBand, and you can check out their music on both Spotify and Bandcamp at sarahinthesafeword.bandcamp.com. Check out independentwrestling.tv for the best in current and classic independent pro wrestling, including live events from top independent promotions worldwide. You can use our promo code LGBTRingPod or visit tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT and peruse their entire library over there at independentwrestling.tv. Once again, promo code LGBTRingPod or go to tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT. Check out that service. You can follow the show on Twitter at LGBTRingPod. You can follow me on Twitter at WonderboyOTM. And if you're into video games, definitely check out my video game news show, the Mr. Video Game Super Show. I co-host that with Twitch streamers Slacker Kite and Lady Merowin every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific over on twitch.tv/deadsunentertainment. It's your weekly roundup of gaming news, and it's always a blast. So once again, check that out every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific over at twitch.tv/deadsunentertainment. Sun like the star. We'll be right back with more LGBT in the Ring.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
I think when we look at those big leagues like the WWE and AEW, I think we can all agree that neither are particularly queer-friendly places to work in the first place. But if there is a trend, if there is a bit of a stark difference between the two, when I look at the names who are featured from AEW, because, you know, I'm scanning, I'm like, oh, there's Nyla in a lower spot than I honestly thought she would be at. But I digress. Like, it's folks seem to be able to be a little bit more authentic in terms of when we see Sunny go out into the ring, people know what they're about. You know, there is no guesswork. There's no like, oh, maybe bisexual, who knows? Like, ooh, that's kind of gender bendy. Like, it's fucking straight up and I love it. So, yeah, I mean, neither places are queer friendly, but I do appreciate if we're getting our crumbs that AEW not only seems to let people perform as themselves a little bit more authentically, but that people are able to have those indie runs, like you said, that they have that freedom.
And in addition to that, I would say that AEW certainly seems far less controlling of people's social media content, so that even if they cannot get to fully be who we know they are on a television broadcast in terms of their actual direct interactions with their audiences. We know, you know what I mean? We know who Nyla is. We know who Nyla is. We know who Nyla's married to. We know that. We know who Sunny is. We know who Sunny's what Sunny's identity is. And there is none of that desire to control that element of the person's public perception. So with that, we get that extension or broadening of impact socially and societally that we are talking about will move somebody up something like this QWI.
Definitely on point there. Real quick, I want to talk kind of internationally a little bit, because the one thing I take a lot of joy in when putting this list together is highlighting so many of the non-North American talent that makes this list as well. Last year we had a number of European wrestlers. We had one wrestler from South America. We had, you know, one wrestler from Japan, and multiple people from Canada and Mexico on the list, and that continued again this year. You know, we actually had an increase. We had two wrestlers from South America make the list this year, in Davina and Jan Karlor making his second appearance there, and then a number of talents from the UK and France and just all over the place. Like, was there anybody from the international scene that stood out to you in terms of not necessarily in terms of ranking, but just in terms of like their presence on the list?
Well, I'm woefully remiss in being cognizant of what's happening outside certain realms of the wrestling world. So I'm personally very thankful for lists of this nature, because I specifically went through every single entry on this and clicked on their pictures or their social media just to learn a little bit more about them. And, you know, we are, if you don't have access, even though I'm not making an excuse because the internet exists, right? But if something's not on my radar, I can't become aware of it at any point. So just making me aware of names or beginning to look for talent that's outside of my normal realm of existence is helpful to me. And I think that it's really beneficial because it can pull our global community a little closer. We can get to support some of those people in any capacity, whether that's just simply following them on social media or interacting with them or looking for their work. And I'm imagining in places like South America, or even parts of the, you know, Canada, where maybe people are a little more rural or what have you, I know what it's like for me to have support close to home or people who are cheering me on. And I hope that we can do that for these people who are outside of the individuals that we normally watch.
Yeah, I'm going to echo your point that, I mean, we're very lucky that there is so much wrestling to watch now, right? But there were a lot of names that were unfamiliar. And it is also, granted, it can be challenging to find wrestling from different parts of the world where, you know, we're pretty fortunate that you can just pop on IWTV and so many American promotions have access to this, like, super streamlined network that doesn't cost too much money, and it's all right there, right? So you do have to seek out stuff that that isn't really hand-delivered to you, and I am used to things being hand-delivered to me sometimes, I'll admit it. But one name that really popped out at me, because he just did in general this year, Carlos Romo, and I bring him up because Carlos was a last-minute addition to what was Palm House Pro a month ago up here in Evanston, Illinois, but is now being absorbed by Pro Wrestling Vibe. But he was a last minute addition because I got a message from some folks from a marvelous Matt Nix, actually out of freelance. He's like, hey, Carlos is here for the weekend. He's staying with me. Do you think he can wrestle on Sunday? I'm like, fuck yeah, absolutely. Right? Like, No doubt about it. So I did not think I was going to have the opportunity to see him live this year. And I was not as familiar with his work as I wanted to be. But he competed in the very first ever professional wrestling match to ever happen in Evanston, Illinois, which is the home of Prohibition. So it's a pretty old-fashioned sort of Beaumont part of Chicagoland. And he was the first person who ever came out as like a genuine heel too. He was in a fatal four-way, and I was just so impressed with his work that all I'm thinking now is how to get him stateside again. Like, how do we all pull our resources together to keep him coming back and taking those planes and, you know, messing with the ozone layer as much as possible? I don't care.
You know, one of the things you're asking about, that, you know, finding international talent on this list, the thing that we talked about briefly before we even started recording is that I'm consistently shocked that you are able to keep tabs on who is what in the world of LGBTQ plus representation, because I saw the list on Monday and it had, Tuesday, I saw it and it has Rolando Freeman from the National Wrestling Alliance, who I've worked with for almost, I have actually been there since his debut with the company, and had no idea that my little cupcake is LGBTQIA. So I don't know how you keep tabs on people.
I feel like part of the appeal of the QWI list is everybody running to read it, but it has that layer of like, when you audition for the school play and you want to see who got what part, right? It's like, ooh, who's gay this year? Or at least, right? Like, ooh, is my crush on the list? Can I get some confirmation? So yeah, I'd be remiss if there weren't a couple where I was just like, no way. Okay, cool. Man, you just got way cooler in my book. What can I say? I'm a little biased towards the queers.
Was there anybody specific that stood out there?
Actually, come back to me, because there
okay,
was
okay. Name. Sorry, Poyo, you were about to say something.
Well, Rolando was my, you know, like, Rolando is, the thing about Rolando, and I'm like, I'm kind of hung up on this because I just didn't know. I always assume people are heterosexual unless they otherwise state that. Not necessarily because I believe that when they tell me, but because of the fact that I don't want to offend somebody by just assuming, right? So, but with Rolando is just like the sweetest, nicest guy. He plays his character in NWA so hilariously and so brilliantly. And I describe him, for people who are not necessarily up to date on Rolando Freeman or what's even going on with the National Wrestling Alliance, Rolando plays the big brother of a guy who is like twice his size, and he is, the way I describe the character is like Scrappy Doo from Scooby-Doo, who's like, you know, constantly like, let's fight, and people are just like holding his forehead and he can't reach them, you know what I mean? So, you know, it doesn't matter to me one way or another that he's LGBTQIA somewhere on the spectrum, because he's just very good at what he does. And he got two big victories this year over Matt Cardona on some of our major broadcasts and major events this year in the NWA. And the audience at NWA, I think, is very torn. They love him in the best possible way, or they hate him in the best possible way. You know, meaning like, they don't hate him as a person, they hate the character, or they love the character, which is good. And if you actually know the guy, he's just all around lovable.
See, I'm so different from you, because I just assume everybody's gay. Like, I'm just constantly surrounded. Like, one of the biggest, and I tell him this all the time, because I'm like, his words, he's appropriating bisexual culture. Fucking Eel O'Neill, come on, man. Like, I remember booking him specifically at one point, because I was like, shit, well, oh, man, we got to put a cool bisexual who wears glasses somewhere. And, you know, he's got the bisexual glasses, those really thin little frames. So I made my assumptions, but...
Wait a minute. He's not?
I know.
Wait a minute.
Even though he wears those little, and he doesn't just wear overalls, he wears little corduroy overalls. All right.
Oh, that's shit.
It's
living either bisexual or they, he.
One damn minute. Eel O'Neill is not. Oh my God. I was like, I knew that he was dating somebody who is a gorgeous woman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just maybe he had like swung that way and stayed. How dare you? How very dare you, Eel O'Neill? You knew I was crushing because I was complimenting how cute you were. And then he played me online too because he said he was only 21. And I thought I'd narrowly misstepped like some landmine of being called like a predator or something.
Oh my God.
I am aghast.
I would.
You're so canceled. You're canceled, Eel O'Neill.
I would assume that this would get us in trouble if it was not for the fact that Eel O'Neill hails from the Grapital region, which is hands down the most fucking problematic circle of queers in wrestling. Sorry, just with the goons, with Killian, like Eel can take it. He can take it. Maybe Twitter won't, but I left Twitter, so they can suck an egg.
I'm just horrified. I'm absolutely horrified.
It's fucked up. I was really mad because I was going through my Insta stories the other day and he was wearing the same fucking outfit as me. Anyways.
Oh my God. So he's not bisexual. He's a lesbian.
Aren't we all? That makes sense.
Now Eel O'Neill is a lesbian. Now, no wonder he's with a woman. Okay. Okay. You're back in my good graces, Eel. I love lesbians. I hate fake bisexuals. Bader.
God damn it. Oh, God. Can I just say, I love that I'm getting the chance to sit down with both of y'all again. I'm just enjoying this conversation. It's just so good.
Yeah, no, it's... I was going to say something profound, but I completely fucking lost it. Never mind. Sorry, guys. Because of
your fully legal recreational adult substances.
Absolutely, man. Really checking all the boxes on a fun Tuesday off. Ugh. When does like Outsports the family get its own just like mean gay podcast? You know,
we're not allowed to be mean gays. Even drag queens aren't allowed to be mean anymore. We have to be like gay Muppets. Which is like, it's an oxymoron, I know, gay Muppets, but like,
put a hand up your ass. Yeah.
we're not allowed to be that anymore, but I mean, which is fine because I'm sweet and nice. Ding.
That you know, I was going through the list again too. I keep on harkening back to like the top 50 or whatever, but it is a very heel heavy year, which is refreshing, and it's very, very happy because I've often lamented in both the writing that I do and just when someone gives me a microphone like this, I think that mean gayness is very important. It's part of our fucking culture. So seeing so many heels on this list who are not afraid to maybe elicit some boos from a crowd that is supposed to be like the most accepting, tolerant crowd of all crowds that have ever crowded. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Like, it's, I appreciate some meanies, and there are certainly some meanies on this list, like Killian.
Yeah, no.
And Macy Mack. I mean, come on.
Yep. Macy Mack.
Start right there. Right, I would say
start bully. Right there.
Sometimes I question AC Mack. Is he a top?
Oh my God.
Talk about a meanie. How dare I question his masculinity?
There we go.
The poop shoot or what?
We got O'Shea Edwards, big and mean. We got Mr. Grimm. Mm-hmm. Pretty mean, but also a real sweetie. Shh. But yeah, fuck you, O'Shea Edwards.
Yeah, that's still happening.
Dude, Billy told me he's bringing him in February, and I'm like, well, when does his license to wrestle in DC expire? Like, how much do I have to pay the commission to not renew it?
Y'all will never see eye to eye, will you?
He's a lot bigger than me, a lot taller than me, so we will not see eye to eye. You're right.
That's true.
He's a lot bigger than a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? Mm.
I'm really excited, too, because, you know, I do a lot of my work with the Underground Wrestling Alliance here in Northern California, San Francisco area, and we're actually about to bring MV Young in to start. I know he's going to be with us in February, mid-February, late February for a show. And I'm optimistic that I think that he will fit in so well with UGWA and what we present there. Like, I mean, you know, we've got the agenda. We've got Jay Vidal comes in. He's part of the agenda, actually. He's just sort of, he is like truly the forgotten child of the agenda because he moved away. But MV is going to be Like, I just would love to see him kind of like lock horns with some of the big boys and girls that we have there.
West Coast loves some MV Young. You know, for a while there, when he was coming out more regularly for Prestige, like Oregon and California were all in on some MV Young. So I would definitely love to see him back on the West Coast more regularly as well. And you bring up Agua, Sandra Moon, the current Agua champion, coming in number 20, is another outstanding talent from the West Coast here. Okay, let's we're getting close to the end here, but let's get spicy real quick. Okay, this is your chance. Throw it at me. What ranking did you feel like you disagreed with the most?
Ooh, give me a second with that one.
Yeah, that overall, I will say that to me, the top 20 is pretty significant. Now, of course, you're not going to get either one of us to be like, I think so-and-so should have been far lower. and they're our friends.
This isn't, you know, that kind of question.
You know, I would say that one of the people that I could definitely have seen at a higher ranking, number 24, Alex Kane. Alex has had a tremendous year. Fred Rosser at 25. I think that there was a time perhaps when Fred, just because of his level of visibility, would have been expected to be higher, but his work with New Japan and the things that he's doing there in terms of really redefining who he is in the world, I think that could have argued to make him a higher ranking on this. It's hard for me to see my Jay Vidal drop, you know, in the rankings. So those are some people that, to me, especially since Jay just became the first out person ever to sign to Impact Wrestling, you know, that to me could be a great sign of things to come.
I don't have any strong feelings about anybody, but I think that one decision that is going to elicit strong feelings, maybe, I don't know. I can't really take the temperature on how Twitter is these days, but Kid Bandit at 29. I think that for a wrestler who is very online and gets a lot, is very, very good at giving themselves a lot of exposure, they give off the impression that they had a year that was much bigger than putting them at 29. So I'm curious from a fucking sick-minded sociological little bridge troll, nasty fucker, you know, I'm excited to just be like, all right, let's see how the community reacts to this one. Cause oh man, what a petri dish. My God. So yeah, that I think Kid Bandit at 29 might get you some heat.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that Kid Bandit has fostered a community of support that rallies behind anything that's even perceived as an injustice to them. And so for the people who want to rush to that, and it's a very, very explicitly online community of people. I mean, it's definitely exists. I've seen it at signings and live events, meet and greets, things of that nature. It translates extremely well, but I certainly think that there's an even larger component of that online. So I would not doubt that that's going to be the for every one person that says, what about Kenny Omega? There's going to be 100 people that say, what about
Kid Bandit? I'm prepared for the flood that is coming on Twitter. So
I'm hoping that you built your ark, dear. Oof. 2x2. 3 if they're non-binary.
That's this is gonna be it certainly is a trip, but yeah, what a just online cesspool all around. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for anybody. It's unhealthy for everybody. So I do hope that any baby queer who is furiously making like a 12 tweet thread right now about how the three of us are enabling something, I hope they're able to just pause for a minute and take a deep breath and genuinely go take care of yourself, child, please. If you made it this far in listening to this podcast, geez.
I do want to give a shout out to our boys from MSP, Aggro and Danger Kid. You know, mm-hmm. Money Respect had an opportunity to face them albeit not as extensively or as in depth as I would have liked in the tag team gauntlet at Effie's Big Gay Brunch. And I do know that for Marco and Fab, MSP, Aggro and Danger Kid are two individuals that they really want to lock up with and test the waters for all of the talent on for all four of those individuals in the coming year. So I was very happy to see them, and they're just great. They're just great kids. And so I was really happy to see them ranked at 34 and 35 as well.
Yeah, I think MSP, that was like my biggest bummer from going to Pride and Vibe weekend this year and not getting to meet them. I think that was like the two people that stood out. It was like, damn, I didn't get a chance to meet them. And so I agree with that spotlight for sure.
They're just great kids.
Yeah.
There was one person who sticks out in my mind just because I'm very, very familiar with his work. That I was surprised to see Andy Ripley, but not Irving West make the list this year.
So one of the factors that goes into me compiling this is I don't want to assume someone's sexuality. I don't want to assume someone's identity. And I was not, as happens every year that I do this list, I was not aware that Irv was queer. And that, you know, that's on me. And I'm glad that I had in the entry that had Andy on it, I'm glad that I was able to get a photo of both members of Creeps for that to be like the header there. Because that gives Irv a little bit of a shout out and makes up for a little bit of my ignorance. So,
So Mr. Sister susses out everybody else, but not this one.
Yo, we don't all bat 1,000, all right?
I give away no secrets, so I won't tell you the answer. But I when Creeps was here in Chicago for Palm House, we were out to dinner, and I was like, you guys, you both have to tell me, you guys are like the fucking White Stripes in indie punk rock wrestling right now. We don't know if you're dating, if you're best friends, or if you're like fraternal twins. We have no fucking clue. So I give away no answers, but he's at least canonically, many of the mean trans mask community has just voted him as honorary trans masculine because he's just a little guy.
Yes.
He's just a little guy. He's like our number one fan. If there's a trans dude, there's like Irv like trying to like put us on his shoulders underneath. So there we go. Ultimate sin for the trans masculine community. We fucking love to see it.
Yes. And actually, real quick, going back to international talent, one place I didn't mention that had people on both last year and this year's list, Australia. And that in terms of like talking about trans mask, Casey Johns is a big name out there, you know, and on his gender affirming journey. And it's amazing to see him becoming like the first trans mask champion in the history of Australian wrestling. Was amazing. And of course, Charlie Evans, because Charlie Evans has just been killing it all over the world this year too. So, but yeah, no, like, yeah, there's always someone, and this is just something I've come to accept, there's always someone that I'm not aware of whenever I do the list. So, like, Irv, you're on my master list now, so don't worry.
He's got, like, a wee little mustache. Come on. Jeez. It's just a little mustache on a little guy.
Well, in fairness, half of the Italian women that I know over the age of 60 have a mustache too. So, but doesn't, you know.
There you go. There we go.
Now, let's turn this to a different question altogether. When are these QWI awards coming out, Brian?
Okay.
Certain of us who are nominated.
Both of you are nominated.
I know. Actually.
So, yeah, so the QWI Awards, the fan voted awards, they'll be coming out the day after this podcast drops, so Friday. So y'all don't have to wait too much longer to find out who won those. And obviously all of this got thrown out of whack because they got COVID. So
the damn audacity of it all.
Yeah. So but it's all right. We're getting everything crammed in before Christmas so everybody can be done with wrestling for the holidays.
I'm never done.
Neither am I. So.
Yeah, I definitely have like a real fucking psychopathic mentality right now. Cause I went from being like, ooh, I should politic because I'd like to win an award, to being like, no, I have not worked hard enough. I need to try harder. Like, I just became a Marine out of nowhere.
I was like, y'all can vote for me and you can make me win and I'm gonna post reminders and, you know, I got some flack.
I was not gonna try to win against you.
I mean, the one good thing is the award we were nominated for is like under my incognito name, so people were not like, you know, expecting that. But for me, I got some flack for it online. People were like, well, if you have to campaign for it, I'm like,
how do people win Oscars?
Exactly. I sent Brian a text and said, I said, you know, in Hollywood, they're like, people, I guess that they just think that this shit happens, but like there's entire teams of people who nominate and campaign to get people Oscar nominations, Grammy nominations, Golden Globe nominations. And we don't have a team like that. So I'm like, of course I'm going to, if I have the opportunity to tell my following, support me. I mean, it's their award to give. You know what I mean? It's the public's award to give to us.
I think politicking is, I love it. I really love it. I don't love to do it. So I guess what I'm saying here is I'm not going to try to politic against you, but would you like me to sabotage anybody else? Like, would that be of interest to you? You know, like maybe like 2 years from now, I could get like a little leg up and in a different race, like we're not competing in. But if you need me to Nancy Kerrigan somebody, like I'm open to it.
I love that. And I actually told Brian that I got some flack from somebody. I was like, you know what? I don't want to upset your apple cart. I'm not going to campaign for you then. I'll campaign for other people. If you don't want if you don't like campaigning, I'm not campaigning for you. Campaign for yourself or don't. Damn. Not my problem.
The entirety of the pro wrestling world is based on self-promotion. Come on.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Do you think?
Absolutely. I, yeah. Anyways, something I like, But when the nominee list came out, I thought it was really funny. There were a couple people who were like, oh, so-and-so got left off and stiffed. I was like, you motherfuckers are the one who decide who get, this was up to us. You could have submitted anybody. Politic better. Politic better. Boom. It's that easy. So. I could have politicked better. Then I could have been up for, I don't know, something else. I don't remember all the categories. Well, most stoned promoter of the year. There we go.
Oh, that would be a tough competition.
Oh, honey, you're not going to win that one. You're not going to win that one. Have reasonable expectations. Every promoter I know is like literally powered by weed. They're like,
oh. I know. And I'm ready. I'm ready to throw my hat in that ring. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, the smoke circle at Cascadia was big.
Yeah, but you guys are, it's the fucking Pacific Northwest. It is, you could exist in a cloud. Like you're in a hot box just automatically any room you're in. So come on.
There's a pot store on the corner of my street. So yeah.
See, like if you guys didn't have a certain like base level amount in the bloodstream at all times, you'd start like getting weird nosebleeds and other nefarious things. So yeah. Ugh. I say as I just with the mute button on.
Sorry. Right. I'm popping Eddie right now. Okay.
I just had two energy drinks and I'm about to piss myself. Let's wrap this up.
No worries. we were definitely getting.
I'm about to wet myself right here on wet my snuggle.
Well, I'm like, I'm hungry.
Yes. To wrap things up here, just final thoughts from both of y'all about the list. Anything else that y'all might want to say about it or anything else, any other feelings regarding it?
I think
when did you
I really jumped in because you were like looking contemplative. I was like, okay, I like,
what year did you start doing these? How is this the second or the third or the fourth one?
So this is the fourth year and it's grown and changed a lot, because like the first year it was just on the podcast and it was the top 20. It was like the QWI 25, and then okay. The next year it was the 100 that was unranked, and okay. Then the next year was the first 200 ranked, and this is the second 200 ranked.
I see. So what you're saying is that the very first time you did the QWI, it was not enough for you to put me on the list for my one wrestling match that I had all year that I not only won, but then I banished my opponent to the dark place forever where he's in like weird predator hell. That wasn't enough. That's called keeping the community safe, Brian. That's what that's called. 26 are fucking bust. I'm not settling for anything off that far off the map. All right.
I commend you for your duty.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a 100% success rate. 100% success rate.
You can be the official 101 of 2020.
I thought you said it was only 26 to start.
Well,
in 25.
In 2019, it was 25. In 2020, it was the first 100 that was unranked.
Oh, okay. That's not enough for me. I want you to take somebody off and put me on. I want someone to be removed. 100% success rate. Beautifully done. Killed a pedophile, you know, basically. That's basically what happened. It's the same thing.
I'll take a peek. I'll give you that much. I'll take a peek.
We're getting a little inside baseball, which I think is kind of an annoying quality that I have, but I'm referring to Butch versus Gore that Primetime Pro did in March 2020, like 3 days before everything shut down and the world ended forever.
Yeah.
I pinned with the assistance of Billy Dixon, Mark Allen Haggerty, and then he got canceled like a week and a half later. It was wild. And then there was fucking COVID. So much happened.
I remember that night.
Oh, it's called queer history.
You banished him into the dark place and brought a plague upon us.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Another finger curls around the monkey's paw. So there you go. fun. Oh, we're having fun.
Very.
All right.
My thought on this, for our closing, really is the fact that, you know, I do believe that people within the community, the wrestling community and the fandom, recognize what an undertaking this kind of a list is for you or for whether it's from Pro Wrestling Illustrated to Righteous Reg's, you know, BWI or this particular project. It is such an undertaking. And I hope that people are cognizant of that. The fact that this is obviously a labor of love, you know, this is a labor of love for professional wrestling and a love letter to the queer community at broad, because, you know, if they do not understand that, and not everyone will, unfortunately, you are going to get those damn, you know, you're always going to get the responses. You know, our buddy Kevin McElvaney at Pro Wrestling Illustrated got like just short of, you know, death threats from the 500. So I hope that you won't get anything, but it's a situation where, you know, just a few short years ago, there wasn't something like this to acknowledge our community and to pay tribute to the people and the hard work that many of us, you know, and I really am like on the periphery of that as a personality and whatever, but many of the people that I consider like very dear friends that I look up to and admire in this space are just doing tremendous work. And if without people like you taking it upon yourself to put countless hours of effort into watching this, ranking it, thinking about it, obsessing over it, and then actually writing it up, that's the part that I can actually relate to the most, because I know what it takes to write something. And this is an undertaking that I would not want to write up. So I appreciate the fact that you do that. And I appreciate that it shines a light on our community and gives people, quite honestly, something that I think that the actual workers in our industry get really, really excited to see where they're going to be ranked, even if it's just in the mind of like one genderqueer individual in the Pacific Northwest who has a fun outlet, like a podcast and a writing opportunity at OutSports.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it is definitely a labor of love. I always say that. And like it takes a long time, obviously, but I do enjoy doing it. And I will say, like, having it the pause in the middle this year, because of me getting ill was one of the most frustrating things in the world. But also, like, I don't know, at the end of the day, like, none of that matters. Just to see the reactions from people and both, you know, wrestlers and fans and other people around the pro wrestling world. And that's what I do this for. I do this for all of them, because Lord knows I'm not a clout chaser. So I'm very bad at it if I am. So
y'all, random question. Do you think eating a cough drop will kill my dog? Random to the listeners, but I'm sitting here with my dog in my lap and he just crawled up here and he's like smelling very mentholated at the moment. My dog's on substances.
Yeah, maybe get that checked out. But yeah, we should probably wrap it up so you can like possibly poison control your dog. Jesus. But yeah, Brian, I know I've been, oh man, have we all not been so cunty today? But Brian, you really just fucking exemplify what it means to like really work hard in this community. Because again, we know this shit's really difficult. So it's awesome that it exists. I think it provides a lot of validation for people. I think it's a really good reminder that it pays off to be an active member of your queer community. That is what I mean when I say that being out is great. Maybe not for everybody, but for many people, it is important to have this big community. And I think that this list and people seeing their names there, even I really hope that it provides a lot of encouragement for folks to either try to get on it, to try to raise their rankings, or however they may feel. It's just you fucking did it. Hell yeah.
Well, thank you both for the kind words and for joining me on the show today to talk about all of these words. Jesus Christ, there's so many words. But yeah, so that's 2022 QWI 200 in the books. Here's to 2023, I guess. And whenever I do this all again next year, because
hell yeah,
I love it. I guess with that being said, y'all let everybody know where they can find you online if you want them to find you online.
Staring at me. I'm not on Twitter anymore, but if you want to see if I ever come back to Twitter, my handle is @BudweiserGay. But PW Vibe, Pro Wrestling Vibe, is one of it's the main promotion that I create alongside Billy Dixon. I also do a lot of work with Fight Club Pro, so keep an eye on those guys. And yeah, Budweiser Gay. Maybe I'll come back. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Not I. I'm on Tumblr under the same handle. Yeah, come to Tumblr. It's a wild ride. Anyway, sorry. I'm done. Goodbye.
Well, I am found on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Poyo Del Mar Fans. On Twitter, I am the Glamazon PDM. I used to be able to tell people like I'm verified on Twitter, but now anybody is verified on Twitter apparently. And so yeah, follow me. I would love to connect. I always love to connect with audiences in that way. You can check out my column, of course, on Pro Wrestling Illustrated in the latest copy of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, as well as frequently on their online PWI-online.com. And for those who are concerned, I just Googled and I don't think my dog's going to die.
Hooray.
Excellent. Yeah. I forgot to say that too. I always undersell it. I spout off all my silly little ideas and put my silly little thoughts in PWI. Why? Because Kevin asked me to. I still don't know why, but yeah, my column's called The Lowdown. I did not name it. Isn't that such a name? The Lowdown? Kevin was like, I want to call it The Lowdown. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? He's like, no. I was like, all right, shit, call it The Lowdown. Man. Ugh. It's like 1982 where I'm in the newsroom just smoking a cigarette.
Seem heated.
I love it. I secretly love it. This is a little show.
Awesome. Well, Poyo, Lo, thank you so much for coming on the show.
thank you so much for trusting us to give you a good show. Seriously, this was really fun.
Oh my God, and thank you to anybody who lasted 90 minutes listening to this show.
I hope there will be edits.
I do edit the show, but it's okay. But thanks once again to Pollo and Lo for coming on the show and talking about this ginormous labor of love that I do every year. I don't know. I don't really know what else to say. What else hasn't been said already? Congratulations again to all 200 wrestlers that were featured on the list this year. Congratulations to the 400 plus out pro wrestlers that are out there doing their thing right now. And I look forward to evaluating you again for next year's list, as well as the countless others that will inevitably emerge to add to those numbers, because every year it keeps going up. And that is probably the greatest thing to come out of doing this list, is to keep seeing the numbers come up. You know, I really don't know what else to say, so I'm going to end it here right now. Make sure to come back tomorrow on Friday, because the QWI Awards will be announced on this very podcast. We have a couple of special guests coming on to chat all about it. Of course, those are the fan voted awards, because I do like giving a voice to the fans of this show and the fans of pro wrestling as well. We all deserve to celebrate our LGBTQ favorites of the year, honestly. That being said, though, y'all stay messy, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated and boosted if at all possible. Same goes for monkeypox, especially after the period that I've had the past few weeks. Do it, damn it. Y'all have a great holiday. Come back tomorrow, and again, congratulations, AC Mac. Bye. Everybody's ready to die. If they didn't see it coming from the top of the bridge, she made a deal.